5 years ago, the idea of the TV being a targetable, measurable ad platform was science fiction. Today, Mountain is helping brands do that by turning the TV into a performance marketing machine. With Mountain, your ads reach millions of viewers via tens of thousands of customizable audience segments and get seen exclusively on premium streaming networks. That's high-impact ads served at the right time, right place, and to the right audience. And if that wasn't futuristic enough, Mountain then automatically optimizes your campaigns thousands of times a day to ensure you're always at peak performance. The future is now. Visit Mountain.com to learn more.
In a year where 71% of marketers say demonstrating the value of marketing to the CEO and CFO will be extremely challenging in the coming 12 months, we took the opportunity to ask the industry's best and brightest marketers at Advertising Week Europe 2022 how to create a culture of marketing effectiveness.
Good afternoon and welcome. I hope you're having a good day so far. I'm Craig Ingalls. I'm chairman of the Marketing Society, and I'm your host for this session, which is about how to build a culture of marketing effectiveness. To my mind, marketing effectiveness is one of the most debated subjects amongst marketeers, and likewise amongst CFOs, and indeed in the boardroom. But the focus this week in Ad Week is on creativity. So do the two things connect? How does marketing effectiveness relate to creativity? Does it at all? And to my mind, the two are completely interconnected. They go hand in hand. And once you've defined what effectiveness means for your organization and established the measures to measure it robustly, then the opportunity you have is for one to feed the other. Creativity can really sing in an organization if you understand its effectiveness. And it feeds the organization if you understand what the creativity is in service of. So for me, they go hand in hand. But it's not straightforward getting there. It really isn't. It takes lots of time. There are lots of questions to be answered. And I describe it as being the sort of real hard grind work to get there and to have robust measurement in place. What's really important is you need to know where you're trying to get to and have a plan to get there. Like stating the bleeding obvious, but nonetheless, according to the inaugural IPA Effectiveness Culture Monitor, those organisations with a marketing effectiveness roadmap, as you'd expect, feel empowered. They have a much clearer sense of how to deliver real effectiveness in their marketing. And yet, only half of organisations actually have a roadmap. Okay, that's a pretty stunning statistic, I think, and a really big gap. And that's in a year where, according to Forrester, 71% of marketeers like us are saying that that demonstrating value to the CFO, the CEO, and the board is more challenging than ever. So the context is that it's incredibly challenging, and yet half of organizations don't have a roadmap. So that's why we're here. No pressure, guys. The plan is in half an hour. It's quite a challenge. In half an hour or so, we're going to give you some personal reflections and insights from this expert panel and who have got a ton of experience and who are also living what I've just described today. So hopefully that sounds good. I'm going to start now by introducing you to our panel. So I'm going to start with Saba, the India Saba Nakush Bandi. So Saba is Global Marketing Director at Mr. Porter. And she's responsible for leading the global Mr. Porter brand and marketing strategy. She champions the customer experience and is responsible for delivering aggressive sales revenue and customer growth. Good use of aggressive in your bio there. It's quite unusual.
That one in there.
She joined the business as a two-year-old startup and has been there in 7 years now and contributed to transforming Mr. Porter into an award-winning, globally recognized luxury online pioneer. She's responsible for the marketing function across the globe, which includes a team of over 70 people across three continents. So welcome to you, Saba.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And our next panelist is Duncan Chater. Duncan's currently MD at Bloomberg Media and has more than 20 years' experience in the media industry. Before Bloomberg, he was chief revenue officer at Hearst Magazines, where he was responsible for commercial strategy. Before that, he was group publishing director, responsible for the brand development for Red, Esquire, and Cosmopolitan. And earlier in his career as a publisher, he looked after Men's Health, Runner's World, and was part of the launch team for Women's Health. So welcome to you, Duncan.
Thank you.
I'm assuming you lead a healthy lifestyle. Our final panelist is Kertu Inkeroinen, who is marketing and e-commerce director at Union Hand Roasted Coffee. Kertu is an experienced marketeer and e-commerce director with a combination of global FMCG experience gained at Kimberly-Clark and Coca-Cola and challenger brand SME experience more recently. She sits on the exec board at Union Hand Roasted Coffee, which is the UK's largest ethical specialty coffee roaster. She's an avid coffee lover, which is, I guess, quite handy in your job. And she leads the marketing team and e-commerce business unit. And it's not on my card here, but she's just told me she's leaving in a week, but she's given me permission to announce. So she's leaving and she's taking the summer off. How annoying is that? But good luck to you in whatever you do next. So welcome
to
you, Kertu. So, the way this session is going to run is that very shortly I'll be asking these panelists some pretty searching questions around marketing effectiveness. That'll run for 20 minutes or so. And then we'll have about 5 minutes at the end for questions from you, the audience. So if you've got questions, please go into the Adweek app. I'm sure you've all got it downloaded. And you can submit your questions there. You just enter into this session and you'll find the Q&A where you can enter your questions. We'll pick the two or three most popular ones and ask the panelists. And talking of the app, I also want to run a quick poll as well. I just want to get a sense of how you all feel about marketing effectiveness and just get a sense of the temperature in the room. It's pretty hot outside, but let's see how hot you are on marketing effectiveness. So there's a couple of questions that I've set on there. You can access them by going into this session in the app and find the poll section, or indeed by simply scanning the QR code here. It's up already, look, there you go. So the first question, as you can see, is how important is understanding and driving marketing effectiveness within your organization? So I think it's on a scale of 1 to 5, I guess it is. 5 being the strongest. So if you feel that marketing effectiveness is really important in your organization, give it a 4 or 5, you get the idea. So let's get a sense of where you are. We'll keep changing as we go along, sort of Eurovision style. Not quite as exciting as Eurovision, but you know. Okay, it looks like it's skewing to the right. Still moving around a bit, but that was good. Oh, it's there. Yeah, it is on the screen. Okay, so the average is 4.4. That's really high. I was expecting it to be more spread. Actually, I'm quite encouraged by that. So at least in your organisations, it seemed to be important. I've certainly worked in places where it was misunderstood and also quite a way down the list of priorities. So actually, that's encouraging, I think, that at least it's seen as important in your organisations. But the next question is crucial too. Which is, how well equipped do you feel you are? So you personally, how well equipped are you to lead marketing effectiveness within your organisation? It'd be good just to understand that. It's a bit lower, looks like. Okay. Pretty even spread in the middle. And I guess what we'll hear as we go through, and maybe that can feed some of your questions, but this is an ever-moving space. It's very hard to keep on top of it, I find. There's lots of different views on what's right, what's wrong. I don't think there actually is any right or wrong, but it depends on your organisation. But that will help, I think, just to give us a bit of context for the questions that we ask the panellists now. But so the average is 3. So there's a bit of a gap there between how important it is and how well-equipped you feel you are. So hopefully this session will give you a bit of insight. Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks for getting involved in that. It just gives us a bit of context. I'm going to turn to the panel now. And actually, we've got some questions which these guys know. But before we do that, just any quick reactions to what you've just seen in the poll. It'd be good to hear what you think of it.
I'm surprised, to be honest, in our organisation, it very much skews to the 5 in terms of it being very important. And it is interesting to see that, you know, people's comfort though is a little bit lower, because I think there's a piece where, you know, I think everyone's learning in this space as well, and there's a feeling of also becoming more confident. But our organisation, in terms of it being very important, definitely probably five, and I would say three, four, if we were being brutally honest in terms of how you know, the organisation as a board whole sees itself in terms of comfort.
Okay, so very much in line with the audience. Mm. Any other views?
I'd agree. I think I think most companies think it's super important, and particularly when you relay that back to how you pitch for bigger budgets each year, which is what everyone wants. But not surprised as well that actually everyone feels like they're not in the strongest position to actually manage that. The complexity that we're in right now as an industry still very much exists. So, you know, we're still, I guess, businesses are still coming to terms with that and getting processes in place to measure that effectively.
So maybe we'll come on later to talk about that complexity, if that's something that's a barrier. Okay, look, I want to start big picture and ask you all really what you think are the most vital things to have in place in an organization for marketing effectiveness to thrive. And bear in mind that we're talking about how you build a culture here. So I want to start with you, Saba. What are the kind of the big things, the big ticket items that need to be in place?
I think from a culture perspective, having a learning organization, having a learning mindset, moving the conversation away from justifying where you're spending to why, and thinking about how you're open to optimizing, experimenting, testing, and learning. So I think this has been the big shift at Mr. Porter, thinking a little bit more about learning and experimentation. We work in a context where we also have a very limited resource mindset, not just when it comes to budgets, but also people, time. And I think that massively helps when you're trying to instill and drive a culture. I think too often you hear about doing more with less, which can be, I find, quite demotivating. But the way we try and frame it is being able to do more and have more time. And then actually that opens up headspace for creativity and also kind of makes teams more motivated and kind of happier generally. So I think the culture piece for me, learning, experimentation, limited resource mindset.
Okay. Kirsty?
For me, it has to start at the leadership team and boardroom level. So I think shareholders agreeing and understanding the value of marketing as a long-term value-driving mechanic, and that going beyond, I think, what's easier to measure in terms of ROI, bottom of the funnel activity, and then understanding that metrics like brand awareness, brand love, sentiment around your brand will longer term go back to your bottom line, but you can't necessarily link it back to ROI. Because I think if you only get asked by the board to invest in activities where you can show the direct link to ROI, that's going to longer term make your marketing less effective, and you are not going to build a sustainable long-term brand.
Yeah.
So it's that starting mindset from the top.
And does it take education of those shareholders to get to that mindset?
Yes, and I think that probably differs in businesses. So I worked in Coca-Cola, which is very brand focused. Education is not necessarily needed there. But then, for example, moving into a smaller business where the founders might not have marketing background, there's education piece to be done there.
Mm. What about you, Duncan?
Yeah, I'd echo that. I think it starts very much at the top. And if you think really where the past few years, we've gone through a whole digital transformation phase. We've obviously had the pandemic. On top of that, we're going through a whole purpose phase. So lots of change. And I think, you know, what's really important at C-suite and boardroom level is that clarity of, you know, a lot of businesses are going back to brand. We're certainly seeing that. But what are the key priorities of the brand? Like, how do you make sure then that's distributed right throughout the company, not just through the marketing function? And then how do the marketing objectives ladder up to that? Because if you don't have that consistency and everyone in alignment, then it's really difficult. And I think messages start getting lost along the way, particularly if you're thinking, you know, we deal with a lot of large global corporations, and, you know, it's difficult enough just doing it in one country. But then when you're actually amplifying that across multiple regions where people work in different ways, you know, the journey from boardroom right through to a media company is a really long one with lots of different stakeholders. So, you know, it needs simplicity and clarity around what the organization is trying to do to then be able to measure it and drive change.
I just pick up on one thing you said, that you said lots of organizations are going back to brand. Just tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think what we're seeing now is, and part of this is the kind of the purpose-driven moment. There's a lot more pressure on businesses to actually make a contribution to society, and there's an expectation from consumers on businesses to actually be doing, being a cause for good. So, you know, again, I think in terms of like what we see is the number of kind of corporate communication strategies linking back to brand, brand value is really, really increasing, particularly in our market. So we think we see, you know, that really playing out in things like custom content, and not just for Bloomberg actually, but across, I think, the sector has like we've seen extreme kind of growth in that area. But it's really interesting as well then, as you really get into the detail, how businesses, when you're questioning them behind, what are we actually trying to do here? Where does this ladder up to? And there's a difference then between the businesses that are really, really clearly aligned, and you can see they're talking the right language then in how they measure the performance of those campaigns, versus the businesses that are actually seeing an opportunity in a particular area and then maybe getting stuck. And you can see then how do you actually take any learnings out of any data that you get back from a campaign and apply them back to the boardroom when, you know, there's got to be consistency across all of the activity.
Fascinating. Thank you. Sab, I want to turn to you now. I think one of the biggest questions that all marketers wrestle with is this sort of balance between the short and the long term. This constant tension between the two, and measurement regimes are often different and so on. So what's your perspective on that and how you find that balance?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is it's a very difficult juggling act, but I think the context now is we have so much change happening. We have businesses being disrupted. I worked in the music industry before this. I'm in an industry that disrupted, but is constantly being, you know, is changing. So actually, if you don't think about the long term, you know, your short term can be absolutely, absolutely devastating. So actually, at Mr. Porter, we like to talk about performance efficiency in the short term and performance efficiency in the long term. And actually, when we talk about investing in things like brand building or customer experience, even the narrative and the way we talk about it internally to functions such as finance is framed within this context of performance efficiency in the long term. And I think, and of course, the measurement and the way that you set objectives and KPIs for different activity varies. But I think one of the most powerful things that we've done is, you know, to also convince particularly finance of the importance and being able to kind of measure that is by looking at branded search, right? We spend a huge amount of our marketing budget on performance media. If you actually invest in your brand, your branded search, whether it's paid or organic, which has typically, you know, 10x the return compared to your unbranded search, becomes very very lucrative, and it's an easy story to kind of sell to your management. So we really talk about actually, you know, linking the two, performance efficiency in the short term with the long term. And it's the same context, even when we're thinking about, you know, where we're focusing on when it comes to markets, right? You stick to your core, but if you want to look at growth areas, you've got to explore new markets. And it's a kind of a similar approach that we have in all aspects of our business. But The two shouldn't be seen as distinct and separate. And actually, part of the challenge is making sure that the narrative of performance efficiency is talked about in the context of brand and customer. Because actually, it's really risky to your performance if you aren't thinking about
these. Do you feel like that's understood in the business and you've got that balance, or is it a tension?
It's interesting because I feel... it's almost internal marketing as well, in terms of changing perception. But it was, I would say that it has been successful because we ended up getting more money in some respects to invest into the brand this year. And actually we're calling it the year of the brand, to your point, big purpose play on Mr. Porter. But it's linked to actually, when you look at our financials, a year of also driving efficiency.
Okay. And Kestu, we know that, primarily because of digital, customer journeys have become more complex. And so how can you get a good picture of the impact of marketing right through the customer journey?
So for me, this is the most difficult thing to measure. And I think especially Union Coffee is an omnichannel brand, which makes it much more difficult. So we sell on D2C, but then also in grocery, cafes, restaurants. So I think you can track the journey within the digital sphere and once we have D2C customers, but beyond that, when you are offline, it becomes almost impossible. And I think I've gone back to the old-fashioned mechanic of asking the customer. So running an annual survey, we get 4,000 people replying, asking about touch points that they've seen and how they found the brand. And it's interesting because the insights from there are very different to what we can see on the digital journey data points. So actually things like friends referral, visibility, PR, influencers become much more important. Now, I think you need to overlay the fact that your customer doesn't always remember what exactly their journey has been. So we all know we are not gonna see communication and go and buy a product straight away. It's like that over the 6 months, somebody's told us about it, we've seen a tube ad, we've done something else. So asking a customer to remember all of those touch points is quite tricky. So I guess my view is that it is almost impossible to really track it, and it's a fallacy to try to do that only based on digital data, especially if your brand operates in other channels as well. Not to say that you shouldn't try it, so my advice would be to ask the customer, but remember that you need to put the lens over it that they probably won't remember all of the touch points, but then also add your intuition or common sense over it, and remember that it's a laddering impact and effect of all of the different touch points. So I think one of the dangers in looking at data points is that you will look at one activity that has the most measurable ROI and you invest everything in that, and you forget that actually it takes those four other touch points and they've been making that one action and impact more effective.
So being more measurable doesn't mean more effective.
Exactly.
Asking customers, that's controversial, isn't it? You had it here first. Listen, we're nearly out of time. It's ridiculous how it just evaporates. Have we got questions from the audience? I don't know if we could just bring them up on screen if we have. So looking at the people over here. We haven't. Okay, does anybody want to ask? I mean, you can go and put your hand up. Here we go, right here. Yeah? Just grabbing a mic. We've got two questions. We've only got a couple of minutes. They're going to have to be quick fire questions and quick fire answers. I might push them a little bit on time.
Your hand up.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Great conversation. Before I ask my question, I want to just say I like the comment that Seba made about that there's no distinction actually between long-term and short-term, right? So the question I have is, I think in theory, you know, when we talk about alignment and all that stuff, it's great. But on a day-to-day basis, what are the practical tools that we can use to literally get everybody aligned? Because I think once we go into cubicles, different departments have different KPIs, you know, you become in your own world where the CFO or, you know, the chief operating officer might be worried about, you know, we talk short term, it's a conversation that is more salesy.
Yeah.
Where we do creative work and the COO doesn't see the product features, the benefits. It's like for them it doesn't register as, you know, they don't see it as effectiveness. I suppose effectiveness also comes across in what the actual communication says or what it is. So what are the practical tools to get everybody?
Alignment. It's alignment you're seeking. Who wants to take that? Sorry to cut you off, but I did say a brief question. That was like a speech. So who wants to take that? Any thoughts on alignment? How did you get alignment?
I can take that if you want. Yeah. I mean, I think you start at the very top, right? And I think actually we have a lot of shared KPIs, and typically KPIs around the brand and the customer. When you're working in an organization where they're shared, it's not just marketing owning the brand, it's not just the CRM department owning the customer. So if you start with alignment at the top about the kind of key KPIs, and then it filters down. But I think the big challenge that you typically find is that lots of teams have lots of different KPIs and everybody wants to measure everything, and actually the choicefulness and the focus when it comes to being really ruthlessly focused on strategy is where there are sometimes challenges. If you don't have that single-minded vision, if you don't have a very clear strategy, that's where you have organizational silos and you have misalignment. Like, and I think actually we start from the top, talk about shared KPIs, and then we filter down into the different departments.
Okay. Thank you, Seba. We had one last question.
I was going to add to that. I think the other...
We don't have time, but go on. Quick.
I'm going to anyway. I think the interest... Obviously, you've got to have that. I think the other thing is then how you use some of those other data points as insights to drive the next stage. Because I think you can... If you've got a focus on what actually the company is measuring, all of the other data points are really useful, but use them as insights rather than measurement of actual brand performance.
Okay. We had one other question here. I think, is the mic, was just here, someone? We're done. I think I'm going to be kicked out in a minute. there was another question here, but is, no? Hands gone. Right, okay. I think that means we're done.
That's quick.
Pretty sure. Okay, well, listen, what happened to the half an hour? We could have talked for at least 2 hours. I'd like to thank our panel. Thank you guys for being here and for your insights. Yep, round of applause. And thank you to all of you for being here. Thanks. I hope you have a great rest of the day, and thanks for all your involvement. Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more content like this, we welcome you to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing network of B2B podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.
For years, advertisers struggled to tie measurable outcomes to TV ads. Today, brands can measure their impact down to the last decimal. Mountain's self-serve connected TV marketing software provides real-time insights that can take the guesswork out of ad measurement. With Mountain, you can build customizable dashboards with the metrics that matter most and compare your campaigns to other channels with leading web analytics integrations. You can even track when viewers visit your website or make a purchase, regardless of what household device they use. Visit mountain.com to learn more.